But it said the opposite. What is the opposite of doubt? And somebody said it's omniscience, because there's no room for doubt when you're all knowing. Mm. You can't doubt because you already have all of the knowledge
at your disposal.
Yeah.
Okay, Romans 11:33-34.
How great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice?
So what does it say about his wisdom here?
Questioning is futile, like you just can't possibly reason your way there.
Yeah, his wisdom is rich, it's unsearchable, it's unfathomable, cannot be searched or comprehended, it's inscrutable. When it talked about the depth of the riches, I thought beyond the deepest part of the ocean or the highest part of the galaxy. I mean, like we said, you just keep going further and further down or higher and higher up. We just can't even comprehend his wisdom. It is inexhaustible abundance. And the riches, the fullness of all things in store for God's use and purposes. So, are there any past or present events in your life that tempt you to doubt God's wisdom? If so, what are they? Anybody have anything they care to share there? That's kind of a personal question.
Yeah, my brother died in 2017 of a brain tumor out of nowhere.
Mm.
Two young kids. His baby was 7 months old. So that was a...
Wow.
I mean, I didn't like struggle with my faith or like get angry at God or anything.
Yeah.
But of course, you have to like,
yes.
Wonder, like, what is the plan for that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the plan for his babies? You know. So.
Mm. Yep. I think we all have things in our life, or we can see in somebody else's life. This doesn't make sense in our world, in our realm, in our finite mind. We don't see the big picture, do we? But what is the ultimate purpose of all things, according to Romans 11:36? And
from him and to him all are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen.
And then, Gaylene, do you have 1 Corinthians 10:31? Sorry, I should have.
So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. To bring glory to God.
So, then the next question, what does it mean to glorify God?
To worship him.
To worship him.
To obey him and reflect his character to others.
Mm-hmm. To obey him and reflect his character to others.
To suffer well.
To suffer well.
Jeremiah says, it's ascribing everything concerning creation, redemption, providence, and eternity to God.
Hmm. Yep.
Just recognize his greatness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wayne Grudem said, God did not need to create man, yet he created us for his own glory. We were created to glorify God, indicating that we are important to God himself. And in regards to Romans 11:36 that Mandy just read, when we begin to appreciate the nature of God as the infinitely perfect creator who deserves all praise, then our hearts will not rest until we give him glory with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is worthy, worthy of all praise. But yes, we are here to honor, glorify, reflect his image. He created us in his image. We are to be image reflectors. So in what ways do you think your present circumstances bring glory to God?
To show love.
To show love. Mm-hmm.
Everything we do should be for the glory of God, whether we eat and what we drink.
That's right.
What is best for the welfare of others.
What's that?
How we handle our emotions.
Yeah, we learned that today. For those of you going to second service.
Thank you.
Patient?
Mm-hmm.
I would say what we already did, just turning in prayer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, too, when people see, like Mandy said, to suffer well, I mean, people are watching. People are watching and seeing, you know, are you handling your difficulties any different than the non-believing world? And, you know, if you're not falling apart in the midst of it, and they might ask you why you're not falling apart, you know, and then it gives us a reason to share our hope with them, that our strength, where our strength is coming from. It's not, we're not pulling up our bootstraps and doing it in our own strength by any means, but giving God all the glory as he gives us peace and joy in the midst of the difficulty. Our prayers often seem to go unanswered, yet God is still handling us with wisdom. He knows that the very adversity we long to have removed is his means to help us grow. Anyone want an adversity in their life? Want it removed right now? He knows it's his means to help us grow. Psalms 119:71. Anne, do you have that?
It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes.
Can we say that? Can you say that?
I found this down. I have it all open. I got. It was good for me to suffer, so I will learn your demands.
Yes, it's good for me to suffer. I will learn your demands, exactly. That's when we do our growing, isn't it? That's what we read in that beginning section on page 286, that second paragraph. God in his infinite wisdom knows exactly what adversity we need to grow more and more into the likeness of his son. He not only knows what we need, but when we need it and how best to bring it to pass in our lives.
Ernie Reiber one time said that there's very little growth on the mountaintop.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the valley that you have the growth and the lushness.
Yeah.
Where the rain falls.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the flower grows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like physically when you grow too, you don't really see it happening day to day, but then you look back and
sure.
The little mark on the wall is higher or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, such a gift from God when he allows us to see that there has been growth. I mean, we'd be awfully discouraged if we didn't see that there was growth, I think. Even with our children, those of us that have children, I think it's a gift from him too that he sees, we can see that in our children as well. But even in our own lives, if we see that we've grown through a trial, I think that's a gift from him. Describe a time when adversity was not removed, even though you or others prayed that it would be. And then the next question is, did you experience any personal growth through that adversity?
One of my father, and by seeing his face, inspired me to write.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had an unfair work situation where I had gotten pregnant, and my boss decided to let my contract not renew. And she started grooming my graduate assistant under me to take my position. It was really challenging. I prayed a lot. But through it, I mean, God really gave me a heart to forgive both of them. Because I still was going in as she transitioned after I came back from having my baby. She was taking my position. But it really made me cry out to God daily.
Yes.
To get through the remainder of my contract.
Yes.
And just seeing God's faithfulness in that I was able to be home with my daughter on unemployment for the first couple months of her life.
Sure.
I found a part-time position.
Mm-hmm.
So God worked it for good.
Yes.
It was really challenging.
Yes. It would be. Thanks, Dawn, for sharing that. Yeah, when I've gone through difficulties, you know, I thought about my mom and dad's divorce when I was a young adult, and then our infertility. Both those times and others, it's just, again, learning to depend on God alone and learning that He alone is my rock, especially with my mom and dad's divorce, because I had my dad, I've shared this before, my dad was on the pedestal and the Lord was saying, no, I need to be up there, not your dad. And He taught me that people are going to always fail us, but God will never. And I said, I would not have the relationship I have with Christ today were it not through that experience and getting into the Psalms especially and underlining every time I saw that God was my rock, my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, my strength. I mean, that just became so real to me. And He is my best friend today because of it. And so we have to allow Him to do that growth in us. But it is painful. It is painful. But to come out on the other end, and I'm, you know, there's still things. It's a journey, right, ladies? And it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah, I heard David Jeremiah this week talk about even, and this isn't a direct quote from him, but the idea was, as parents, we want our children to become independent. God wants us to be more dependent on Him as we get older. I thought that was interesting. I never thought of it in that way, of how that's what God, in our relationship with Him, He wants us to grow more dependent on Him.
That's an inverse relationship.
Yes, yes, yeah. Well, we think of God the Father, He's our Father, but it's different than our earthly fathers, obviously, but I guess I never thought of it that way.
But as our kids grow, we're teaching them to be from dependent on us to dependent on Christ.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yep.
Like, you know, that's hard.
Yep.
You know, so the big things in you, like, you gotta be dependent on whatever God wants you to
yeah.
do. I may not yeah. be able to answer this one for you, kiddo, but God
yeah.
knows.
Yeah. Yep. And then let's look at Romans 8, 28 and 29, Carolyn.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren.
So what's the logical connection between these two verses?
Well, I have to look through again. See what I wrote. The second is caused by the first is what I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
His good is that we're conformed to the image of Jesus.
Yes. Yep.
We should become more like Him.
Yeah. And the reason that we can be assured of this, that all things do work together for good, is for that purpose, that we will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ.
That would be all things.
Yeah, did we mention all? All things work together. The cancer, the COVID, the car accidents. We sure don't see it that way here, and it can be very discouraging, but aren't we glad that we serve a God who is sovereign and knows more than we and is loving and infinite in his wisdom? Let's.
I had a note here from McGee. He said, predestined means when God saves you, he is going to see you through.
When God saves you, he's going to see you through. Yep. Yes. Well, we better.
Stressing is for those that don't have that hope or don't trust that he's in control or there's a reason for all of this. I don't know how they make it.
Yeah.
We just, they don't. Some of them.
Yeah. It would be very disheartening, I just can't imagine the no hope, the hopelessness and defeat and, yeah, no assurance.
Because sometimes they look fine, you know.
Well.
You know what, though, and they think they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have hopelessness in a lot of cases, because they don't see the problem.
That's true, too, yeah.
I have a sister who's fine. She doesn't need Christ or any of that Bible stuff or church. She's okay. Pray for her. She's 90.
Oh.
she needs a push.
What's her first name?
Modell.
Yeah, I'm sure we all have unsaved family members that do need salvation for sure. All right, so let's stop there on number 6. Again, we won't be meeting next week, so this will be Valentine's Day that we will start there.
And I got my book open for Job and for Psalms.
There you go, you're ready. And we'll probably, I would think, get through that and maybe even then start on lesson 8, which is chapters 9 and 10 in your book. Knowing and experiencing God's love is lesson 8. So if we get through that, we might start on the next one. We'll see. Who knows? We might have a... Who knows?
I still know. Who knows?
Who knows?
I said that the other day. I've made appointments to see the lawyer about renewing my will, and I've got an appointment to go to the funeral home to line things up so the kids don't have to deal with that. And Matt says, well, so what are you telling me? And I said, well, who knows? Well, God knows, he says. I said, yeah, he knows, but I don't.
Let's close in prayer again. Father, again, we just thank you for your love for each one of us and your infinite wisdom and your complete sovereignty over this world and over our lives. I just pray that we would be women that just continue to trust you, that we would just continue to turn to your word and just depend on you, Father, each moment of every day. I just pray that we will be women that glorify you in our lives, in our adversities, and that those who are watching, so to speak, and ask that we would be able to share the hope that is alive within us in a saving faith of Jesus Christ. Thank you again for each one. I just pray for safety and travel today with this weather. I'm just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.